Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another fantastic episode of The Bing Crosby Show. This is the season opener for the 1946-47 season of The Bing Crosby Show, or at least the first episode available. It's probably the season opener. I haven't listened to it yet, but it stars Bing Crosby as the guest star. Wait a minute. Bing Crosby, the host. Stars Bob Hope as the guest star. And, of course, I love Bob and Bing together. We had them together last week. What I said at the beginning of this season was that I have so many great Bing Crosby shows at my fingertips that I just can't see playing, you know, one season straight through anymore. You know, I could play Bing Crosby as often as I play Jack Benny. And this is the Jack Benny podcast, not the Bing Crosby podcast. So I'm going to stick him to one night a week on Monday nights. But what I'm going to do is play the best episodes, or at least the episodes with what I think is the most interesting guests from either the 1951-52 season from 60 years ago or the 1946-47 season from 65 years ago. And in this case, Bob Hope kind of wins. He's a really good guest. So we're bringing you Bob Hope. Now, as I looked ahead at the episodes, I mean, chances are most of them are going to come from the 1951-52 season, because I guess at that point he was attracting a lot bigger stars maybe and so forth, or ones that are more memorable today. So chances are that season's going to win out most of the time. But certainly the 46-47 season, he had some interesting guest stars on from that time frame as well. So we'll just kind of ping pong back and forth. Anyway, I hope you enjoy today's episode with Bob Hope, who always, always has a great time with Bing Crosby, or at least seems to, when you get to hear these wonderful shows. So we will see you again next time.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the world premiere of Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, the Charioteers, Lena Romay, Skitch Henderson, and starring Bing Crosby. Well, Bing, here we are in a brand new program with Philco. What kind of a show are we going to have?
Well, I figure on something effervescent, charming, gay, carefree, bright, sparkling, scintillating, ebullient.
No dull spots, huh?
Well, there may be a lull tonight. Bob Hope's coming over a little later, and this is a little late for him this time of the evening. But before Trowel Nose gets here, let's have some music, huh?
I got no mansion, I got no yacht. Still I'm happy with what I got. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. I got no future, I got no plan. Still I think I'm a lucky man. Got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Sunshine gives me a lovely day. Moonlight gives me the Milky Way. Got no checkbook, I got no bank. Still I'd like to express my thanks. Got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. And with the sun in the morning and the moon in the evening, I'm all right. Mm-hmm.
sunshine gives us a lovely day. Doo-doo-doo-doo, moonlight gives us the Milky Way.
I got no heirloom, I got no kin, made no will, but when I cash in, I leave the sun in the morning and the moon at night.
Leave the sun in the morning and the moon at night.
And with the sun in the morning and the moon in the evening, I'm a-doing all right.
Bing, here it is, our first broadcast on Philco Radio Time. Looks like it's going to be a nice engagement.
I don't believe in engagements, Ken. I think I'll marry these people.
Oh, really?
Yes. Move right in.
Well, you should feel right at home with Philco, Bing. I'd venture to say that more people are listening to you right now over Philco radios than any other kind.
Oh, say, that's a little alarming.
How come?
Well, if so many people already own Philco radios, how are we going to sell any?
Well, that's just the point, you
what's
see, Bing.
What's that?
You've got the kind of a voice that wears out radios pretty fast. Even Philco's.
Well, that's good. Then we're back in business again.
Sure, sure. Fine. Not only with Philco radios, Bing, but you're a natural with Philco radio phonographs, too, because plenty of your records are spinning around on them every day. So whether it's your phonograph records or your radio show, you're right out in front with Philco.
Right out in front, huh? Mm-hmm. Say, you suppose I could get the Philco people to give the Pittsburgh Pirates a little transfusion, maybe?
Good idea.
It's nice to know, though, Ken, that I'm with the leader in the industry.
Well, they kind of feel that way about you, too, Bing. Look at the message I just got here from Jimmy Carmine,
Let's
vice president
What's
of Philco.
This? You got it right there?
Jimmy says, "Dear Bing, Philco is proud to welcome you into the Philco family. On behalf of the Philco distributors and dealers in whose name this program is being broadcast, let me say that it's an honor and a privilege to present to the world's largest radio audience the fellow who's tops in Philco's book. Signed, James H. Carmine."
Well, Mr. Carmine's a very nice man to say so. To show him I appreciate it, I'm going to get right to work. Although singing with the charioteers is hardly work, I guess there's plenty of chaps that just love to barber a ballad with them. Tonight we're sailing out on Moonlight Bay. It's a very dreamy thing.
Voices hum, crooning over Moonlight Bay. Banjos strum, tuning while the moon play.
All alone, unknown, they'll find me. Memories like these remind me of the girl I left behind me down on Moonlight Bay. We were sailing along.
We were sailing along.
On Moonlight Bay.
On Moonlight Bay.
You could hear the voices singing.
Oh, sweetly.
They seemed to say. You have stolen my heart.
You have stolen my heart.
Now don't go away.
Now don't go away.
As we sang love's old sweet song on moonlight. We're sailing along.
Sailing along.
On Moonlight Bay.
On Moonlight Bay.
You could hear the voices singing. They seem to say.
That what they say, you have stolen my heart.
Stolen my heart.
Now don't go away.
Now don't go away.
As we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay.
Yes, we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay.
We were sailing. I'd like to have you meet and listen to a young fellow who is creating quite a sensation here in Tinseltown, as well as points east, west, north, and south. This is a fine lad, a fine boy with a grand piano. Really a standout. Skitch Henderson playing Turkey in the Straw. That was Swing and Twitch with the mighty Skitch. Yes, sir. Very clever manipulating, Skitch. It's really fascinating, your rhythm.
Well, gee, I'm glad you liked it, Mr. Crosby.
Mr. Crosby? Oh, Skitch, you don't have to call him Mr. Crosby.
I don't? You mean he's a regular?
Oh, Skitch, he's a gem. That boy is a gem. Let me tell you something about the man we're working with, Skitch, and ladies and gentlemen. Those of us who've had the privilege... Those of us who've had the privilege of associating with Bing realize that he's a pal when you need a hand. He's a clown when you need a laugh. He's a friend when you need a friend.
And he's a singer when you need a sewing machine. We are cooked.
It's Bob Hope.
Well, a tourist, listen to this. Yes, sir, here we are, the Egg and I. How are you, Dad? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Aunt Fuzzhead. This is Bob Philco Hope. Welcome. I'll advertise anybody for money. You know me. Welcoming back to the air, old Droop and Sag, and telling you folks to buy your radios from Philco, because whether or not you believe in Santa Claus, every week they're going to bring you the bag.
Or... Now that Hope's here, let's treat him right. We're a little late, folks, so Bob, good night. Shoo, fine.
Skip.
Duck.
Just a minute, Bing. I want to congratulate you on your going back to work.
Thank you.
I think it's wonderful the way you take such an active interest in show business, a man your age, and it's a real thrill to see you at this microphone.
Thank you.
Standing.
Well, if you get your hands out of my pockets, I'll sit down.
So you're with a new outfit now, huh? Philco.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. For years they advertised no stoop, no squat, no squint. Now they have them every week.
Oh, what a beating.
Say, it's, I want to tell you sincerely, happy hips, it's about time you changed sponsors.
I guess I was with Kraft quite a long time.
Long time. You brought home so much cheese, the mice around there had to wear girdles.
Well, at least I do feed my mice. Yours are picketing you, I've heard.
Don't get touchy. I'm sincere, and I think it's darn nice of Philco to give you this chance to make a comeback.
Comeback? Listen, Pelican Puss, I want...
Wait a minute, Storkbaiter, look. Just a second.
What?
Let's not write in things after we get a start here. What do they call your head? Operation Eggplant? Anyhow, how can you get so hot under a collar you're not wearing?
There you go again, it's worrying
nice
about
when
my dress.
You get up in the morning, you don't have to change, do you? Kid's wearing a pajama top here tonight.
Stuck this out of the deep
Anything
freeze.
To save money. Oh, I...
Why would you worry about how I dress? When I first met you in front of Paramount, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
You were barefoot, and you were wearing a pair of Adolph Monju's old golf knickers.
Those were my knickers. I was playing the lead in Huckleberry Finn.
I don't know about the Huckleberry, but you borrowed a Finn.
It was my greatest performance. I don't remember. I don't remember that incident, but if I borrowed $5 from you, I'm going to pay it back.
When?
The next time you catch me barefoot in front of Paramount.
Well, I just saw your last picture, Monsieur Beaucaire. I may not have long to wait.
Are you out of your mind? The way I played the part of the barber in that picture got raised.
Well, you figured to be a good barber. Look at the experience you've got shaving expenses. Cutting down Dolores' allowance, which you've done to her.
I just live in that Pepsodent tube to please the sponsor. You know that. They squirt me out every morning, and I'm gone. I'm away.
They jet you out, huh?
Anyway, you find out about expenses. Wait till you see what those Pittsburgh Pirates cost you before your kids are old enough to be outfielders.
Don't you worry. Have no fear.
Of course, now you're making money with the hot dogs, with your horses and everything. I understand.
Don't worry about the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're definitely going places.
I hope so. They've been in the cellar so long, the whole team has the bends. What a baseball team. They finished so far behind this year, the last 8 games were football.
Well, listen, don't knock the lads from Pittsburgh, Bob. Didn't you buy into the Cleveland Indians, Little Beaver? Let's talk about that. Where are those boys?
Yes, I flew back to see him play last month. I was a little disappointed.
Why?
All men. But next year, we're going to have a terrific player. He's
a
rookie from the 3i League, and he's sensational.
What's so sensational about him?
He's got 3 eyes.
Take more than 3 eyes to keep you from losing that cheap dollar shirt you're wearing.
What are you talking about? The Indians are a real ball club. They're a sound investment. Someday I'm going to sit back and the Indians will take care of me.
Yeah, they'll take care of you, all right, just like they took care of Custer. If things get rugged for you, though, I suppose I'll always be good for another fin.
Thanks, friend. And if things get rough for you, you can always crawl into Manju's old knickers with me.
You know, Bob,
mm-hmm.
I know that charm and manners count, but I like what you do.
Put it there, pal. Put it there.
No matter what my lawyer says, I've always liked you too.
Put it there, pal. Put it there.
The day you bought that baseball team, it started quite a fuss.
They love me so in Cleveland that what else could they discuss?
But now I hear the Indians want to give you back to us.
You'd call a foul ball fair.
Put it there.
Oh, by the way, that Pittsburgh team.
18.
I hope it makes a go.
Put it there, pal. Slip me some skin, huh?
Drop that back in the bowl. I'd more than gladly let them teach it. No, that's me, that's me.
No, it's me.
That's you,
that's
yeah.
Me.
Put it there, pal. Put it there. Don't croon into the umpire's ear and hope to win a game. I found a line.
I'm proud to be a pirate.
And the pennant is my aim.
The way you make your dough, at least you live up to the name.
Your loyalty is so rare.
Put it there.
My colleague.
My crony.
My cohort.
My friend.
My second sacker.
My third base coach.
Chums to the end.
Like meat and potatoes.
You better lay off potatoes.
Boy, what a plan. Don't put it in the paper. Don't put it on the air.
I'll finish.
Don't put it on the shelf. You got any
benzedrine with you?
Put it there.
Put it there.
Thank you very much for dropping in, Bob.
Think nothing of it, pal. I'm glad to do it.
Well, so long, pal.
Wait a minute. Aren't you going to give me one of those new radio phonographs? You've already given me the needles.
Well, I'll put in a word for you with the Philco people. And by the way, I'm running a little low on toothpaste.
I'll put in a word for you with Dr. Cowan.
Thank you.
You see, folks, there's nothing mercenary about us. It's just friendship.
That's all. But we have a charming young lady. A young lady, I know you've heard her on many of my broadcasts and in pictures many times. So long, Bob.
I'm still here. I'm not going. I'd like to... What was that you just mentioned about the girl?
Well, never mind. Why don't you go to that home that you've never left? Go ahead. Run along.
Look.
Scat. Ooh.
I'm sticking around to meet this gal.
Listen, Apehead. Can't you see you're not getting anywhere?
Steady. What was that?
You're dropping a bomb here. You're not progressing at all.
You're wearing your bare midriff a little high this season, aren't you?
Come on, out of here. What do we have to do? Call a plumber's assistant to get your mouth out of the mic?
Listen, seriously, before I go, I do want to say something. I think it's very nice of you to invite me over here tonight on your premiere.
Very sweet.
And I, just like the rest of show business, wish you the best of everything on your new program. Mm-hmm. I know you'll be in there punching as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be a smash because you are one of my favorite sons.
Thank you.
And I say, bless you.
Yes, we won't need L'Amour in our next picture, huh?
Has anybody got a can of DDT around?
Now that old Pepsodent Fangs has left, I guess it's safe to bring out the lady. Here's lovely Lena Romay singing Love on a Greyhound Bus from No Leave, No Love, Van Johnson's new opus. Go ahead and sing, Lena, and I'll show the problem child at the door.
Ticket the other night. The Union Station was lit up bright. The crowd was shoving with all its might. But we all settled down for a trip on a Greyhound bus. That's us, heading west on a Greyhound bus. The Howland Tunnel was open wide. We rode along underneath the tide and found ourselves on the Jersey side. What a glorious time for a trip on a Greyhound bus. No fuss, heading west on a Greyhound bus. Stop for hot dogs and soda pop. Ask the driver, how long till we make another stop? Soon the sun disappeared from view. The stars came out like they always do. Then I cuddled up close to you, and we both fell in love on a trip on a Greyhound bus. That's us, in love on a Greyhound bus. Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
On to Wheeling, West Virginia.
Then to Columbus, Ohio.
And Indianapolis, Indiana.
Then we had a slight delay when the driver mistook Illinois Flyway. A Texas storm made us hesitate. A bridge washed out and we had to wait. But we'd be happy in any state, 'cause we both fell in love on a trip on a Greyhound bus. That's us, in love on a Greyhound bus.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you, Lena and vocal group. Leaving the Greyhound bus in love, we bump into Cynthia, and she's in love. Oh, love, love, love. Well, I guess you can't knock it, though. So if John Scott is ready, I shall attempt...
Just a minute, Bing. Don't you think we ought to have a word from the Philco man right now?
Oh, well, have you cased the clock up there, Ken? You know, Hope stayed on quite a while tonight.
You mean he overstayed his welcome?
That condition existed upon his arrival.
Well, how about the commercial?
Oh, yes. Well, have you got it there?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
It's very happy stuff, isn't it? Really a shame to lose it. What am I saying? Well, I had a hunch this was going to happen, though, so I spoke to the Philco people, and they said if we ran out of time tonight, we could just tear up the commercial. So I'm doing the same forthwith. To get back to Cynthia's being in love, Professor Henderson is going to supplement my rendition of this rather nice ballad written by Jack Owens, one of our Philco boys on Don McNeil's Breakfast Club.
Cynthia, as flighty as a summer breeze, her smile is sunlight through the trees. For Cynthia's in love, every rose is blushing as she passes by. They see the love light in her eyes, for Cynthia's in love. Every night when the stars above come shining through, you will find her in a rendezvous. Starry eyes, breathing sighs. Cynthia, I'm glad your lovely dream came true, for I'm the one who worships you. My sin is in love. when the stars above come shining through, you will find her in a rendezvous. Starry eyes, breathing sighs. Cynthia, I'm glad your lovely dream came true. For I'm the one who worships you. My Cynthia's in love.
Well, that's about it for tonight, but we'll be back next week again with another musicale on team, avec Monkey Shines and stuff.
Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, the Charioteers, Lena Romare, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guests, Spike Jones and his City Slickers. This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood and is directed by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the first episode of A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, Dennis Day's own radio show. What I thought I'd talk about today is just how different this is than Phil's show. I got to be honest with you. I think Phil's show works a little better than Dennis's, and I'll tell you why. Dennis's show obviously must have been fairly good in that Dennis's show lasted from 1946 until 1950, and then he went off into television, basically. So it did have, I think, even maybe went to 51, actually, now that I think about it. But the problem here is with Phil's show. Phil is playing essentially himself. He's playing the band leader from the Jack Benny show, and this is sort of supposedly what happens in Phil's private life with his wife and children and, of course, his guitar player Frank Remley, which works really well in that you can have Jack Benny appear on the show. You can refer to the Jack Benny show, give people a common point of reference for your series, and it works brilliantly well. And of course, Phil's show ran from 1946 until 1954. Now, in Dennis's show, they decided to go with Dennis being still called Dennis and the show being the Dennis Day show, but he's not the Dennis Day. He doesn't have a job with Jack Benny. He has he's a different Dennis Day in a different reality. So this is about his life. But of course, if they ever feature Jack Benny on the show, he's not going to know Jack Benny, and Jack's not going to know him. So it makes it kind of strange. I think folks would have got into it more if they would have played it like they did with Phil, where it's Dennis Day, and this is, I mean, because they had so much to play with. I mean, you've got Dennis Day, who's underpaid, supposedly on the Jack Benny show with his $35 a week. They could easily play it up with Dennis and Dennis's mom that they'd already established. Verna Felton could have came on and played his mom on the series. And you could have had Dennis going from job to job trying to earn extra money because he doesn't make enough money from Jack's show. You could have had Jack featured more often with Dennis trying to do different jobs for Jack and so forth to get extra pay. I think there would have just been a lot more range to the show and a lot more material to pursue if he would have still been the same Dennis Day that we know of. And you could have guest appearances then by, it would make sense to have, you know, him run into Bob Hope or him run into various other famous folks from Hollywood, and he would, of course, know them and be trying to maybe get a job on their various shows to earn extra money and so forth. I think it could have been a very strong show, and he could have been pursuing different girls to try and have dates and so forth, and even famous starlets and so forth that you could have featured on the Dennis Day show. So I guess I would think it would have had a grander scope than it did. But having said all that, Dennis Day show is still a lot of fun. And here we have the very first episode, the first pilot episode. And when we catch up to the first shows, I don't think any shows exist until about November. And then we will play those for you as well. So enjoy the Dennis Day show.
Oh, I think life be worthwhile, dwells in your arms and the swell of your
Ladies and gentlemen, the new Dennis Day program with Sharon Douglas, Verna Felton, Dink Trout, John Brown, Joe Kearns, Lee Benadarit, Jerry Hausner, Charles Stanton, the orchestra, and starring the popular young singer of the Jack Benny Show in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. And now here's Dennis singing, Take Care.
Take care when you say take care, oh. Your lips may impart sweeter things than your heart means to say. Take care when you say te quiero. Don't whisper tonight words that fade in the light of the day. Who knows if the spell we're under still be as strong when the moon is no longer there. A heart that's swayed in a moment such as this may be betrayed by the madness of a kiss. When you say, take care, oh, take care.
Yes, that was the beautiful voice of Dennis Day. But exactly what sort of person is our hero? Well, suppose we ask some of the folks of Weaverville where Dennis lives and works. They know him best. For example, there's his boss, Mr. Willoughby, who owns the drugstore where Dennis jerks sodas. Mr. Willoughby, how do you feel about Dennis?
Dennis Day? Well, when I first met Dennis and hired him to work behind my fountain, I wasn't sure whether he was a soda jerk or not. But I knew he was some kind.
Yeah. Now, how about a few words from Mildred, Dennis's girlfriend?
I think Dennis is a perfect love. It's just that no one understands him. People in this town judge other people by how much money they have or how many brains. Either way, it's very unfair to Dennis.
All right, suppose we hear from Mildred's mother now, Mrs. Anderson, who runs the boarding house in which Dennis lives.
Dennis Day will never amount to anything. He has no ambition, no gumption, and very little sense. My daughter thinks she's in love with him, but it's only because he reminds her of her father.
Well, Mr. Anderson, what do you say to that?
Any opinions expressed by me on any subject whatsoever are necessarily those of my wife.
Well, how about a fellow boarder at the Anderson Menage? Mr. Snedeker, how do you feel about Dennis Day?
Don't mention Dennis Day's name to me. I ought to tear him limb from limb. Wants to borrow my car, he says, so he can drive his girlfriend Mildred over to pick up her costume for the masquerade party tonight. Why did I give it to him? Because I'm a big, fat, good-natured slob, that's why. And what happens? What happens to my car? I'll tell you what happens.
Oh, Dennis!
Did you see that? That parked car ran right into me. Golly, it's going to cost me $25 for Mr. Snedeker's fender, Mildred. Where am I going to get $25?
Well, haven't you saved any money out of your salary at the drugstore?
I've only had the job 2 days. Anyhow, with taxes what they are, I couldn't possibly save more than $6 a week.
Well, how much is your salary?
$6 a week.
Well, we've just got to think of something. If Mr. Snedeker tells Mama, she's liable to throw you out of her boarding house. And I don't know where you'd get another room with this housing shortage.
Gee, I'd hate to lose that comfortable room I share with Mr. Appling, Mr. Moore, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Erickson, Mr. Kerrigan, Mr. Calfleisch, and the Cooper brothers. Especially this week when it's my turn to sleep in the bed.
Well, we just got to raise the money somehow. Mr. Snedeker said if he didn't get his $25, he'd murder you.
Oh, yeah? I'd just like to see him try it, that's all.
What would you do?
What could I do? I'd be dead. But the police would do plenty.
Dennis, if you don't mind, I'd rather he got his money. Oh, if I could only win the prize at the masquerade tonight.
Huh?
You know, the silver cup for the most outstanding costume. Oh, we could get $25 for it easily.
Well, gosh, maybe you will win, Mildred.
Oh, I haven't a chance. Mama picked out a perfect stinker of a costume for me. Betsy Ross. Now I ask you, Betsy Ross.
That does stink a little. Gee, I just finished a book about a girl who'd make a wonderful character at a masquerade. Somewhat different type from Betsy Ross, of course.
Oh, what book was that?
It was called Forever Amber.
Forever Amber?
Yes, it's a very absorbing book. It took me months and months to get through it, but I finally finished it.
Well, why did it take you so long?
I kept going back over it to see if I'd read right. Very educational reading. You know, Mildred, it's very educational reading for a young fellow like myself, though. Believe me, I learned plenty about the London fire.
Golly, you know, I'll bet Amber would win that cup in a walk. Dennis, I'll do it.
You mean you'll go to the masquerade as Amber?
Exactly.
Gee, you're liable to catch an awful cold.
Don't be silly. Now, what can I do with that costume? Cut out the sleeves, lower the neckline, make it slinky and tight-fitting.
I don't think Betsy Ross would like this.
Oh, gee, Dennis, I'm sure it can be done. Look, I'll go right to work on the costume. Oh, but there's some other things I'll need, and you'll have to get them for me.
Okay.
Now, let's see, I'll need a tiara for my hair, earrings, a pair of black lace step-ins, some exotic perfume.
Ooh, what you said.
Exotic perfume?
No, the one before that.
Now, look, you can get everything in the same place. There's a little shop on Elm Street called Yvette of Paris. Ask for Mademoiselle Yvette herself and tell her what you want.
You think she'll believe me?
Well, tell her that for me. She knows my size and everything. Remember, Mademoiselle Yvette. Now, hurry.
Hello.
Hello.
Could I see Mademoiselle Yvette of Paris, please?
You're talking to the Mademoiselle in person already.
You're Mademoiselle Yvette?
But oui. Something I could do for the monsieur yet?
Gee, you have the most peculiar accent. What part of France are you from?
France, he says. Mademoiselle Yvette is just the name on the door.
Then you're not really from Paris?
Listen, the last time I saw Paris, it was holding up my husband's socks. Now, is there something I could do for you?
Well, yes, there is. Mildred Anderson asked me to get some things for her. A tiara for her hair, a pair of earrings, some exotic perfume.
Yes?
And a pair of black lace. Black lace.
What's the matter? You're bashful.
Yeah.
You mean a pair of these?
Oh, put them down. Put them down.
So what's the matter? Why are you getting excited? There's nobody in them.
I know, but I got a vivid imagination. Anyway, she doesn't want that kind. She wants black lace.
Black lace, huh? Is black lace becoming already in Weaverville, de rigueur?
De rigueur?
It's a little thing I picked up from Charles Boyer. It means stylish.
Oh, I see. You pick up little things from Charles Boyer, huh?
All the time. It should happen to mine husband. Okay, anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, I'll wrap everything up together. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Gee, these pink ones are kind of cute. I wonder if... No. Still, they might. I'll ask Mademoiselle Yvette. No, it's ridiculous. I'm sure they don't make them for men.
That'll be $11.50.
$11 and... Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid you'll have to charge it.
Charge it? Who to?
Why, to Mrs. Anderson, Mildred's mother. She's a customer of yours, isn't she?
Yeah. I guess it'll be all right. Here.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I wonder. Hello, Mrs. Anderson. This is Yvette of Paris. Look, Yvette of Paris. Yvette of... Rena Feinschreiber, who makes for you the corsets. Look, a young man was just here who bought for your daughter some very fancy schmancy underwear. And I was wondering...
I saw you standing in the sun, and you were something to see. I know what I like, and I like what I saw, and I said to myself...
Hello, Mrs. Anderson.
Good evening, Dennis. It may interest you to know that I just had a phone call from Mademoiselle Yvette.
Oh, really?
I have also had a little talk with my daughter Mildred.
Oh, really?
I found out she intended going to tonight's masquerade dressed as a certain brazen hussy.
Oh, really?
She is not going to the masquerade at all. I've locked her in her room.
Oh.
Dennis, if you say, oh, really again, I shall scream.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
I also found out that the idea of going as this Amber came from you.
Oh, no, ma'am. I just happened to mention...
Nevertheless, Dennis, Mr. Anderson and I feel it's about time someone had a serious talk with you. Normally, of course, that's the duty of the head of the family.
Yes, ma'am.
But my husband has offered to do it instead.
Yes, ma'am.
I leave. And you two may talk this over, man to... boy... Well, whatever the two of you are, talk it over.
Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, hello, Mr. Anderson. I didn't see you sitting there. I guess your wife had you blocked off.
Been that way for 22 years. My wife is pretty excited about Mildred wanting to go to the party as Amber, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Anderson never let me read Forever Amber. She said it was no book for a man with funny ideas in his head.
Oh, have you got funny ideas in your head?
No, but she said I would have if I read it.
That's silly. I read it, and I haven't got any idea of any kind in my head.
No. This Amber Dennis, what sort of a girl is she?
Oh, you know, companionable, good mixer, makes friends easily.
Yes, I understand she's quite friendly. Oh, well.
Yes, sir.
But we certainly don't want Mildred pretending she's such a character, even for a masquerade, do we, Dennis?
No, sir.
We want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman that her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
I say we want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
You know... Oh, Dennis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Mrs. Anderson undoubtedly has many good qualities, but she does boss you around quite a bit.
Well, all women boss you around, Dennis. Some do it quietly and sweetly. Some, like my wife, do it loudly and firmly. But they all boss you around.
Golly, maybe the world would be better off if there weren't any women, just men and children.
What a beautiful thought. Well, I hope you've gotten something out of this little talk, Dennis.
Yes, sir, I have.
I know I have. I'm going to read that Forever Amber if it takes me the next 10 years. And if it's what I think it is, who cares?
Yes, sir. Well, I'll be getting back to Mademoiselle Yvette with this stuff. We won't need it now. Bye, Mr. Anderson.
Bye, Dennis.
Dennis.
Huh?
Over here.
Mildred.
Quick, climb through the window and don't let Mama see you.
What?
Hurry and hand me that box. Here. Easy. You heard what Mama said about the party, huh?
Yeah. She won't let you go.
I know. She took one look at what I did to this Betsy Ross costume and nearly fainted.
Gosh, you did make it kind of daring. Well, I guess we'll never get that $25 now.
And why not? This cup is for the most outstanding costume, isn't it? Isn't this costume outstanding?
Yes, but there's no one to wear it.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, what do you intend to... Oh. Oh, no. No, Mildred, don't look at me like that.
Oh, Dennis, don't be that way. You'll make a beautiful Amber.
But how can I be a girl? Girls are built differently than I am. I'm taller.
Notice that. I guarantee that in this dress and wig, no one will be able to tell you from Amber.
I bet I could never fool Charles the First. No, Mildred, I won't do it.
Dennis, think of Mr. Snedeker's fender. Think of the $25. Think of the housing shortage.
All I can think of is black lace. Black lace.
There's step-ins.
It isn't how I get in, it's how I feel after I'm there.
All right, Dennis. I guess I shouldn't have asked you. Forget it.
Mildred, I...
I thought I meant something to you. I thought you'd do it for my sake. I was wrong.
Oh, Mildred, stop. I can't stand seeing anyone cry.
You don't care if Mama throws you out of the house and we never see each other again. You don't care.
Mildred, I can't stand here and see a woman cry like that. There's only one thing I can do.
Yes?
I'm going to get out of here.
Dennis, you come back here. We're going to win that cup and pay off Mr. Snedeker. Now go in the bathroom and get those clothes off.
But Mildred...
Here, take all this and put it on. And when you come out, I'll fix your makeup.
You mean I have to put all this on?
Yes.
Mildred, I read another book once about a wonderful character named Abraham Lincoln. All I need is a beard and a short pair of stilts, and I'm sure that...
Get into that bathroom.
Yes, ma'am. Gee, my mother always wanted a girl, but this is ridiculous. Well, I finally got the costume on, Mildred. How do I look?
Well, let's see. It's not too bad, except you're a little lumpy in the wrong places. Walk toward me and slink like Andrew.
I'm afraid to. This dress is too tight. One slink and I'm slunk.
it is tight. Didn't you put on that girdle I gave you?
No.
Why not?
I couldn't get it over my head.
Oh, Dennis, they don't go over your head. Don't you know how to put on a girdle?
I'm afraid not. I've spent most of my life as a boy.
But what on earth makes you look so lumpy from your hips down?
Oh, that's my long underwear.
You didn't take that off?
You think I want to catch cold? There's a terrible draft through this thing.
Dennis, you didn't have to keep your flannels on. I gave you those black lace step-ins to wear.
I know, but I stepped into them wrong. They're black lace kilts now.
Well, sit still now. I'm going to put on your makeup.
Okay.
First, a little mascara. There we are. Now, some powder.
Hey! Watch where you put that stuff.
You're supposed to keep your mouth closed.
Golly, if men were girls, we'd never bother with all this stuff.
If men were girls, we wouldn't either. Now, look, Dennis, hold still while I put on your lipstick, and we're all set. There we are.
How am I?
Why, Dennis, you're absolutely ravishing. Honestly, you're gorgeous.
Gee, really?
Just go over and take a look in that mirror.
Okay. Pardon me, miss. Would you mind stepping aside? Oh, that's me.
Of course it is. Well?
Gee, I am kind of desirable.
Oh, Dennis, I just know you're going to win that prize. Oh, now, look, we haven't much time. Here's the keys to my father's car. Slip out the window the same way you got in.
You'll have to boost me up. I don't dare bend over in this dress.
All right. Oh, I do hope you win, Dennis. There. And please, please be careful of Daddy's car.
I will, Mildred. Gee, I did look like an awfully cute girl in that mirror. Not my type, of course, but some men like them. Oh, golly, here comes the man. Here's my chance to find out how I look. I'll drop my handkerchief and see what happens.
Oh, pardon me. Did you drop this handkerchief?
Why, yes. How careless of me.
Well, here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're really too kind.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, say, by the way.
Yes?
You got a match, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Dennis. Oh, I beg your pardon, miss. When I heard your voice, I thought you were a boy who works for me.
I do. I'm Dennis.
Well, by George. I'd certainly never know you in that dress and with a mask on. Say, who are you supposed to be, Dennis?
I'm Amber. You know, the book, Forever Amber.
Oh. I may have read it. It sort of escapes my memory.
Then you didn't read it. Say, Mr. Willoughby, when do the judges... judge the costumes. It's 10 o'clock, and I got to get out of here before I get that 5 o'clock shadow.
Huh?
Twice.
Oh. Well, the man who's judging the costumes hasn't arrived yet, and by George, I wish he'd get here. If he...
There's someone coming in the door now, Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, yes, good, that's him, and high time, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Something wrong, Dennis?
The judge of the costumes. It's Mr. Snedeker.
That's right, he's coming over here now.
Mr. Willoughby, I can't stay here. If he sees me, he'll punch me right in my mascara.
Oh, he won't recognize you in that outfit any more than I did.
But my voice...
I'll tell him you're a foreigner. Speak to him in Spanish.
I don't know a word in Spanish.
Neither does he. You're perfectly safe. Oh, Mr. Snedeker, right over here, please.
Oh, sorry to be late, Willoughby. That imbecile who works for you wrecked my car, and I had a devil of a time getting a taxi. If I ever get my hands on that young, Oh, I beg your pardon. What have we here?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Snedeker, may I present Senorita Lolita Del Rio? The senorita just got here from Chile.
Well, I'm delighted, Senorita Delighted.
Hacienda, senor.
Well, now, if you two will excuse me, I have a great many things to attend to.
Oh, no, don't leave us, Senor Willoughby.
I'm afraid I must. Adios.
But, Senor Willoughby...
Oh, let him go. Much cozier with just the two of us. Senorita.
Oh, tico, senor.
Well, so you're from Chile. You don't look very chilly to me.
Uh...
I'll bet you're a dream, all right, underneath that mask. How about a peek, huh?
Oh, no, senor.
Oh, come on, a teensy-weensy little peek.
No, senor, not until the price for the winning costume has been giving out.
Oh, I see what you mean, my little enchilada.
I thought you would, my great big cucamonga.
Speaking as the official judge, I think your costume has an excellent chance.
Oh, thank you, senor.
Yes, an excellent chance. Are you married, senorita?
No.
Neither am I, you know what I mean?
See, but I doubt if anything will come of it.
I don't know. I waited a long time for the right girl to come along. Who can say I'm not looking into her eyes right now?
Me.
Huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to award the trophy for tonight's outstanding costume. That is, if our judge, Mr. Snedeker, has a winner picked out.
I sure have, eh, my little beauty?
Oh, Senor Snedeker.
Folks, your attention, please. Now, after a careful study of every costume here tonight, I take pleasure in awarding this beautiful silver cup to the little lady on my left. Oh, what was that name again, Senorita?
Dennis Day.
Senorita Dennis Day. Well, my little tamale, are you satisfied now? You can take this lovely silver cup back to... Senorita who?
Dennis Day.
You! Why, you are...
Mr. Snedeker, please. Calm down. Don't get excited.
Don't get excited? Why, I as good as proposed to you.
It's all right. I didn't accept.
Didn't accept?
No, Mr. Snedeker. If you'd like to withdraw your offer of marriage now, believe me, I'll understand.
Why? Let me at him. Let me at him.
Mr. Snedeker, please.
Let me at him.
Dennis Day returns to sing the beautiful ballad All Through the Day.
I sit alone in the golden daylight, but all I see is a silver sky. For in my fancy I sweep away life and keep my image of the sky just the way we like it, you and I. And soon your lips recall
sure to be with us next week for another in the series of Dennis Day programs. More songs, more adventures in the life of our star, Dennis Day, who'll be back when you hear...
Oh, that makes life worthwhile. Well, then...
Dip Corning speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, presents The Mel Blanc Show. Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, B. Benadera, Joe Kern, Zookie, and Victor Miller and his orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Mel Blanc as the Happy Postman.
Hello, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
You've heard him as the famous train caller.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Coop. Come on, gal.
You've heard him as Pedro.
Pardon me for talking in your face, Senorita. 30 days Hacienda. April, June, and sombrero. I think.
You've heard him as the lovable character, Zookie.
Well, in the fixer shop, I'm the president, president, I'm the vice president, I'm the treasurer. I sweep out the place.
You've heard him as the famous Warner Brothers cartoon character, Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Now hear him as the star in his own show.
Hello, Mel Blanc's fixer shop. You bend it, we mend it.
Say, do you have a broken chair in your house? A broken table in your house? Anything that's housebroken? Well, don't try to fix it yourself. Don't ruin it. Bring it to Mel Blanc. Let him do it. Right now in the fix-it shop, Mel's uncle is talking to our hero's general assistant, Zookie.
Zookie, come here, will you?
Well, I can't. I'm too Here I am.
What time is it, Zookie?
Well, according to me and my work clock, I can't tell you.
Why can't you tell me?
Well, because by the time I tell you what time it is, it's some other time.
Come on, Zookie. Here come Mel and Betty. Let's get out of here.
Look, darling, don't you see, the fix-it shop will never amount to a thing as long as you let your Uncle Rupert and Zookie live with you.
Well, gosh, honey, I have to let them stay here.
Well, why can't that uncle of yours go to work?
Well, he's still weak from his overseas shots.
Overseas shots?
Yeah, he got him in 1917. He spent 6 months in Pierre's Bar and Grill in Paris, 20 shots a night.
That I can almost believe.
Oh, that's right. The last time he saw Paris, he didn't see it so good.
Oh, Mel, why don't you try to be serious about business?
Well, I try.
And another thing, do you realize that we have been engaged now for 5 years?
Gosh, our wooden anniversary.
Don't you think we might begin toying with the idea of getting married?
Oh, now, honey, you know I've been working on our nest egg.
Well, we're both getting old, the egg and I.
Well, yeah, but...
Mel Blanc, now this is what I'm talking about. Now look, look at this birthday card my father got from the Eternal Life Insurance Company this morning. Now why don't you do something like that? Why don't you try to build goodwill?
Okay. I'll send a birthday card to everybody in town who has a birthday this month.
Oh, Mel, that's wonderful.
And another thing, I'm going to talk to Uncle Rupert and put him straight.
Oh, darling, it's so good to hear you talk like this.
I'll tell Uncle. He'll just have to buckle down and loaf somewhere else. I'm sorry, Uncle Rupert, but that's the way it's got to be.
Melvin, my boy, I'm hurt. Haven't Zuki and I been everything to you?
Well, not exactly.
I haven't been everything to you?
No. That's why I want to get married. You can't even cook.
Well, anyway, my lad, let's not be hasty. I've got another idea. Why don't I go on living here and work for you?
Oh, but Uncle Rupert, I can't afford to pay you anything.
Oh, that's all right, nephew. After a while, you'll owe me so much money, I'll own the fix-it shop.
Well, yeah,
and then you can go to work for me. Until you earn enough money to get it back.
Say, both of us can make a darn good living like that for years. Now, wait.
Doesn't hit you, eh?
No. Uncle Rupert, you're not talking me out of this.
I see what you mean. Well, Melvin, if this means the parting of the ways, I shall simply have to ask Widow Longnecker to marry me.
Oh, but you said yourself marriage is a serious thing. Are you sure Mrs. Longnecker's your type?
Why, of course Clara is my type. She's rich, isn't she?
Yeah, but you should marry for love.
Well, I love money.
But she's so long and lanky.
Melvin, my lad, when a lady is that wealthy, she's not long and lanky. She's tall and stately.
Well, have it your way. Now, will you send Zuki for those birthday cards?
Indeed, I will. Oh, Zuki. Zuki, will you come here, please?
Well, I can't. I'm too busy. Here I am.
Mel wants you to go down to City Hall and get a list of people's birthdays.
Oh, well, people's... Yeah.
Then stop off on your way back and pick up some birthday cards in the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
Have you got that straight now?
Yeah. Hey, I'm looking for the
Young man! This is the Bureau of Vital Statistics.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. We have records on everybody from the cradle to the grave. Records on men, records on women. Also Spike Jones playing the gypsy. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm looking for the birthday, you know, rockabye. Hey, I bet you was a beautiful baby.
Oh, yes, indeed I was. Why, my mother used to... Oh, so that's it. You're expecting a baby.
Oh, how could I have a baby? I'm not even married.
Well, you should have thought of that before. Marriage licenses are down the hall.
But I'm a confirmed bachelor. I don't believe in the... I'm put loose and fancy for the... Nobody wants me.
Now, make up your mind what you want. Our files are complete from the cradle to the grave. We have the cross-index to ZY, counter-cross to AAL, and criss-cross to YYZ. Ending with the fiscal year MCMXLV. Now, what do you have?
Let me hear Spike Jones playing the gypsy.
I give up. Look, here's a list of everything we've got. You can take your pick.
Oh, thanks. Gosh. This printing is sure close to the paper.
Is that you, Zuki? It's about time you... Oh, it's you, Mrs. Longnecker. How are you today?
Oh, me. Another day, another dividend. Ah, the woes of wealth.
Well, what's the matter, Mrs. Longnecker?
Oh, it's so annoying. I was at the bank all day today.
You were?
Yes, the bank wants to borrow some money from me. But I'm not going to give it to them.
Why not?
They haven't paid the last loan I made them. If they don't pay me back soon, I'll just have to foreclose. I get more darn banks that way. Oh, money, money, money. Think of it, Melvin. I'm just swimming in wealth.
What a beautiful way to drown. By the way, Mrs. Longnecker.
Yes?
Were you born this month?
Was I what?
Were you born this month?
Oh, of course. I'm just out doing a little shopping for my mother, who's still in the hospital.
Well, you see, I'm sending birthday cards from the fix-it shop to everybody in town who has a birthday this month.
Well, what on earth for?
Oh, it's a great business idea. Make a lot of money, so Betty will be proud of me.
Money. Doesn't that fiancé of yours realize the terrible things money can do to a human being? Why, just look at me.
Yeah, maybe I ought to warn her.
Do you think that I...
Ah, my dear Clara, this is indeed a pleasure.
Well, I didn't come here to give you pleasure. What do you want, Rupert?
I wish I could tell you how radiant you are, my dear. How like a tall, stately slapling... sapling. Sapling in the breeze. Yes, I wish I could tell you, but I don't have the words.
Well, considering you did it without words, it was okay.
Please, Rupert, I'm in no mood for your nincompoopity.
Nincompoopity?
Oh, Melvin, I've quite forgotten what I came in for. I'm giving a reception tonight at the mansion, and I want you to come up and fix a loose floorboard on the front porch.
A loose floorboard?
Yes. Every time somebody walks into the house, the board comes up and slaps them in the face.
Gee, that's embarrassing.
It's even more embarrassing when they walk out.
Goodbye, Mrs. Longnecker. Well, Betty, all the birthday cards are mailed out.
Oh, Mel, I can't wait to see what happens.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if someday I have to use a velvet rope to handle the crowds in front of the fix-it shop.
Yes, honey.
Why, the fix-it shop will become a household word. You know, like Drano.
Yes, darling. Can I see one of the cards?
Oh, sure. Here.
Oh, they're pretty. See, it says, best wishes on this most joyous of all occasions, your very own natal day.
Yeah, natal day. That means birthday. I looked it up.
Now, wait a minute. What's this?
What's what?
Behind this little flap on the card. Look what it says.
Oh, I didn't notice any flap.
It says, I hope the gift I'm sending you under separate cover will brighten this most joyous of all occasions, your very own natal day.
That means birthday. I...
Oh, Mel, what did you do?
I looked it up.
Don't you realize what this means?
Oh, yeah. It means I've got to get 98 birthday presents for all the people I sent cards to. Oh, if I don't, they'll never come near the fix-it shop.
And you were going to keep the crowds back, with a velvet rope, no less.
Well, I can still find use for the velvet rope.
For what, for instance?
Well, not everybody can afford to hang himself with a velvet rope.
Chance with your romance.
Use Colgate toothpowder.
How often it happens, you meet a man and you think he's a nice fellow, but what? Well, you hate to say it, but it's that little breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. And the chances are this chap doesn't dream that a breath of trouble is tagging him, making him unpopular, hindering him in business, spoiling his fun. Without suspecting it, you may be the victim of unpleasing breath. So be on your guard against it. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate Tooth Powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Zookie, come here, please.
Yeah, oh, okay. Don't take a chance with your every romance.
Oh, Mel, I wish I could think of some way to help you.
Gosh, Betty, what am I going to do for presents for those people? I've thought of everything.
Well, it's no use worrying about it now. I guess something like this could happen to anybody.
Yeah, but it always happens to me.
Oh, Mel.
Betty, you know you're the only girl in the world for me, don't you?
Am I?
You're the only girl who'll have me. And you're so pretty, too. You know, every morning I think of you while I'm shaving.
I'm glad.
Sure. I look in the mirror and I say to myself, gosh, you're beautiful.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, you know what I mean.
You're so sweet, and I'm such a worthless, brainless, shiftless, stupid... Gee, aren't you going to interrupt me?
Oh, don't worry, darling. Everything will be all right. The world always has an opening for someone like you. You just have to find it.
What do you mean, find an opening? Look at the hole I'm in now.
Melvin, my lad, your troubles are over.
What do you mean, Uncle Rupert?
In this big package, you see 100 beautiful boxes of candy. They'll make 100 most appropriate birthday presents for the people you sent the birthday cards to.
Hey, that's swell, but where did you get them?
It so happens I ran across a dear old friend today, one Harry Greenspiegel, who now owns the Ace Novelty Company.
Yeah?
Ah, good old Greenspiegel. Used to be a fellow vendor in a burlicue house in Hoboken.
Uncle Rupert, I never knew you sold things in a burlesque house.
Huh? Oh, purely educational. Photographic knowledge for gentlemen who never went to college. Postcards, to be exact.
Postcards?
Oui, oui. Ooh la la.
Uncle Rupert.
Oh, inspirational views of the Eiffel Tower. Oh. Well, let's get these boxes in the mail.
Say, I'll be doing better than the life insurance company. They only sent out birthday cards to customers.
The cheapskates.
Yeah. I'll be sending bonbons by Greenspiegel. De Paris. I guess this will show people in this town this isn't a melon I have for a head.
That's right, Melvin. You've got brains in that melon.
Rupert, it was nice of you to get that candy for Mel.
You know me, Betty. Unselfish to a fault.
Yes. Well, anyway, I don't understand it. We mailed that candy out 2 days ago, and we haven't received one thank you note. Not even a phone call. Oh, look, here comes Mrs. Longnecker.
Ah, maybe this is my chance to win her hand. The one that signs the checks. I have just one box of candy left. I'll try it on her and see how she likes it.
Well, good luck to you. I'll leave you two alone.
Ah, Clara, my dear.
Hello, Rupert.
So glad you dropped in.
Now, Rupert, I'm in no mood for your nincompoopity.
But, Clara, I have a beautiful gift for you.
A gift for me? Oh, how nice, Rupert.
Yes, a box of French bonbons, direct from Paris, made by my very good friend, Monsieur Greenspiegel.
Oh, you shouldn't have done it.
Oh, it's quite all right. A gift for the fairest of the fair. They come to you untouched by human hands. Greenspiegel wrapped them himself.
Well, I must open them immediately and try one.
Try one of the peanut clusters.
Oh, but these are not peanut clusters. These are ordinary peanuts.
If I'd known you were coming, my dear, I'd have clustered them myself.
Yes. Well, no, I think I'll try one of these caramels. Mmm!
Delicious, aren't they, my dear?
Mm!
Stop jumping up and down, Clara. What the devil's the matter with her?
Hey, Uncle Rupert, what happened to Mrs. Longnecker?
Maybe she hasn't learned how to use her new upper plate.
Learn? What does she do, take lessons? Hey, what happened anyway?
Hold on. What's this inside the candy box?
What? Oh. Oh. Ace Novelty Company's number one joker. Be the life of the party. Treat your friends to Sure Pucker Alum Candy.
Oh, no.
Oh, 50 mirthquakes to a box. Laugh yourself to death.
There's been some mistake, nephew.
Oh, some mistake is right. I can just see 98 people chasing me down the street, all of them yelling, Kill Bill Blake! Kill Bill Blake!
Melvin, take it easy, take it easy. What are you doing?
Can't you see? I'm laughing myself to death. Laughing! Gosh, I feel awful. Gosh, if only one of those people we sent the candy to would say something. If they'd only do something, why don't they?
It takes a little time.
A lawyer. Gee,
I bet they could send me to the state penitentiary for doing this to people.
They can't send you to a state penitentiary, Melvin.
Of course they can.
Using the mails to defraud is a federal offense.
State penitentiary and federal prison. You know what I'll have pinned on me? A two-way stretch.
Mel, now don't be silly.
Hey, the mailman is coming. Oh, he's got loads of mail. Hey, you better leave by the back door, Mel.
Yes, nephew, run for the hills.
No, Uncle Rupert. I'm going to face the music.
Well. Quite a bit of mail for you today, Mr. Blank.
Wait. All those boxes. It's the candy we sent out.
And those are all the birthday cards.
Here, let me see. Hey, they all read the same way. Listen. Return to sender. Addressee deceased.
That means dead. I looked it up.
Huh?
Say, Mel, I think I know what happened.
Well, I wish you'd tell me.
Don't you see? Zuki got the wrong list down at City Hall. Instead of birthdays, he got the names of people who passed away.
Oh. Then I'm safe. Nothing happened.
That's right, and you can thank Zuki for that.
Gosh, yeah. Gee, you saved my life, Zuki. I could kiss you.
Hey, you can't kiss me. Don't you dare. Don't you. He did.
Well, we'll be back in the Fix-It shop in just a minute for a Zookieism. What's a Zookieism? Wait and see.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Take it from me, that little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, can put the end in friendship or even give the air to a love affair. And the worst of it is, you may not even suspect it, because unpleasing breath can catch up with you without your knowing it. So ask yourself, could you be the victim of unpleasing breath? Guard against it this way. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Well, Zuki, we had quite an experience with those birthday cards. You know, Zuki, I like to feel that you learned something from it.
Yes, Zuki, everything has a moral. Just what did you learn?
Well, to tell you the truth, I learned that anything worth you must keep your nose to the grindstone. You gotta keep your nose to the grindstone. I learned that it sure pays to be ignorant.
Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate tooth powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at the same time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Ryan. Say hello to Halo Shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Halo lets hair sparkle with natural brilliance. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather to quickly carry away loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.